Today's Old Testament scripture reading is from Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. A day of the Lord is coming when your plunder will be divided among you. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations, as he fights in the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Aziel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. On that day there will be no light, no cold, or frost. It will be a unique day, without daytime or nighttime, a day known to the Lord. When evening comes, there will be light. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name the only name. The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 28. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Let us stand as we affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And I pray now that your word will fill our minds and our spirits and our hearts to overflowing with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Today is November 20, 2011 AD. Our calendars are based on his first advent. As far as many folks are concerned, it is finished. He came, he died, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and that's the end of the story. But we believe he ascended into heaven, he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he will what? Come again to judge the quick and the dead. Now, in the Creed, there are some archaic words. The ancient Creed has at least two archaic words. From thence, he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I'll talk about quick later. I want to talk about the word thence right now. Did you know that that word thence has two meanings? It can mean from that place. It can also mean from that time. And both are right. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from that place he shall return. But also, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven to be coronated king, and from that time he will return. Both are true. Now, the question that you might be interested in answering is, how many times do you suppose the Bible mentions the second coming of Jesus Christ? There are different opinions as to exactly how many times it's there, and I don't pretend to have the final answer, but you may find it surprising what is written about that. In the Old Testament, are you with me? In the Old Testament, there are 1,845 references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. 17 books of the Old Testament give prominence to the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, there are 318 references, an average of one reference every 30 verses. Of the 27 books in the New Testament, 23 of them refer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the four that do not, of those four, three of them are simply one chapter letters. The hope, the promise, the expectation, and yes, even the healthy fear of the second coming of Jesus Christ has consumed Christians for over 2,000 years. The disciples thought it was imminent. Guess what? Nothing has changed. People have predicted Christ's imminent return for centuries. Did you know, however, that some Christians don't believe that he will come again? They believe he's already come again. Did you know that? Some believe that when he sent his Holy Spirit, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then he ascended. Some believe when he sent his Holy Spirit, that was his second coming. Some believe that the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD filled all of the prophecies that Jesus gave about the end times, and that that was the second coming. Some people believe he's here today. The Unification Church believes that their leader, Sung Myung Moon believes that he is Jesus Christ returned. Now, I don't subscribe to any of that, and you probably don't either. I suspect you don't. My guess is that we all believe that Jesus will come again in the future. But when? When is he coming? Predictions about when he's going to come back are legion. They've been taking place for centuries. But even more than the question of when, there is a longing that has been planted, a seed that's been planted in all of us for him to come back. I've longed for him to return, haven't you? I've had conversations with some of you sitting in this room, said, oh, I wish you could come back. I'm ready. Let's go home. Let's get rid of all this stuff of life. The early church was no different. They were not looking for a cleft in the ground called a grave. They were looking for a cleavage in the sky called glory. I thought that was kind of a clever phrase, don't you think? And we're the same. Some of us are thinking, I don't believe I'm going to die. I believe that Jesus is going to come back while I'm still alive. We long for that. The early church was not looking for an undertaker, they were looking for an upper taker. Judy said, too bad, Truman. I didn't get it at first. I thought, what do you say? Listen to what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther said, I hope that the day is near at hand when the advent of the great God will appear. For all things everywhere, listen, are boiling, burning, moving, falling, sinking, groaning. And that was about 500 years ago that he said that. Guess what? Nothing's changed. Does that sound familiar to you? The days we live in, we long for his second coming. Now, Elizabeth and I have two cats. We're cat people. We have Smokey and Marty. At one time, we only had one cat, Smokey. Smokey was our substitute child, I suppose. We lived in Sykesville at the time, and Smokey loved to get into the kitchen window when the window would be open and watch the birds at the bird feeder right outside the window. One day, as Smokey was trying to get to those birds with his paw, the screen popped out, and Smokey, who is a 100% indoor cat, got out. We found the screen, we couldn't find Smokey. And we were really upset. Where is our little kitty? We looked all through the woods that surrounded our house and all the leaves, and we talked to the neighbors, and no one had seen Smokey. There was a great deal of empathy for us, being cat lovers as we are. And we were grieving. One day, I was sitting in my office in the basement of our home, and at the other end of our 250-foot driveway, I heard Elizabeth say, Harry! The whole neighborhood heard Elizabeth say, Harry. I thought she was terribly injured. I ran outside to see what. She said, I just saw Smokey walking. And we found Smokey in the woods, but Smokey was scared to death of this screaming woman, you see. I think also afraid that she was going to be disciplined because she knew something wasn't right about this. She had been out there a whole week. And instead of coming to us, she ran and hid in a drain pipe that ran underneath our driveway. So I went to the drain pipe and I tried to coax her out of the drain pipe. I could not get that cat to move. So I went into the house and got her feeding dish and put some food in it. I came out, I put it 2 feet in front of her, and then I got behind her on top of the drain pipe. And of course, you know what happened. Smokey inched out, started eating. I grabbed Smokey. That was her second coming. We were so happy again to have our kitty back. And our friends rejoiced with us. Now just think how much more excited we're going to be about Jesus coming back than about a stupid cat. We long for him to turn. But the question that keeps rearing its head is, when, Lord, when? Matthew 24, verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Inquiring minds want to know. And Jesus answered, and this is what he said, there are going to be signs of the time. And you can read all about them in a number of places. He talked about wars, famine, earthquakes, false prophets, people turning away from God, wonders in the skies, violence, immorality, as in the days of Noah, the whole world being evangelized, the conversion of Israel to Jesus as the Messiah, and the revelation of one who would be called the Antichrist. Most of these signs have been present in every generation since Jesus walked on the surface of the Sea of Galilee. In some generations, they've been more pronounced than others. And yes, in our present day, they are dramatically visible. Statistically speaking, someone has said that the signs of the time are so dramatic today that we should be especially vigilant. I hope that's true. But one of the problems is, how do you interpret the signs of the time that Jesus talked about? Have they already happened? Are they yet to happening to happen? Or are they happening right now? Every generation of believers since his ascension believes that the signs of the time around them during their lifetime are clear evidence of his imminent return. How about you? Have you had that thought? It's hard not to think that when you read the newspapers and you watch the news broadcast. Think about recent history, for instance. Some people thought that World War I was the sign. Some people thought later that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. Some thought that the establishment of Israel in 1948 was the ultimate sign. Some thought that the generation that lived after 1948 would be the last generation. In fact, Edgar Reisenot wrote a book supposedly proving that the world would come to an end on September 12, 1988. Well, it didn't. And so he concluded he had made an error in his mathematical calculations, and he changed it to September 1, 1989. Guess what? He was wrong. By the way, I can vividly remember living through that time in 1988. Our church was really caught up in it. We had friends who went out and bought property to start a Christian commune to share with one another because they were sure that Jesus was coming back in 1988. It was vivid. I'm sure you probably know that Harold Camping of Family Radio has made no less than 12 incorrect predictions. His most recent one was that the world would come to an end on October 21, 2011, just a few days ago. Even though he is 89 years old, we probably still have not heard all the predictions he will make about the second coming. Some people think that Barack Obama is somehow involved in the signs of the time. Probably every president of the United States has been listed that way at some point. Some point to the dramatic increases today of earthquakes, famine, wars that don't end, global warming, unusual weather patterns, global economy that's unraveling, the Arab Spring. Just last month, October 2011, there was a very unusually strong astronomical wonder, a sunspot that caused aurora borealis, brilliant aurora borealis, in the middle and southern part of the United States, where they seldom ever see that. And it was written in the papers, a sign in the heavens of the times. God has planted in us a desire for him to come back, a curiosity about how and when, and a healthy fear concerning that great promise. If you were listening to the scriptures that were read this morning, there definitely is a healthy fear involved in those descriptions. But there needs to be a proper tension between people who see a sign in everything and people who don't see any signs at all. They're just oblivious to it. They just ignore it. There needs to be a healthy tension. Why? Because Jesus said very clearly, be prepared. He was the first scoutmaster of the Boy Scouts. Jesus said, be prepared. And before we leave here today, I'm going to be asking you if you are prepared. You know, some people who disregard the signs of the time should be reminded of the rearview mirror on the side of their car that has a little thing under it that says, objects are closer than they appear. So when will Christ return? I'll tell you. When God says so. You already know that. That's when he'll come back. How is it going to happen? God tells us. It will be sudden, and we will all see it, and we will hear it. Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. It will be visible to all, Matthew 24:30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It will be audible, Matthew 24:31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other. And all who died before will be resurrected, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. It doesn't have to be a surprise. It shouldn't be a complete surprise. Have you ever been to Pompeii? Pompeii is the town at the base of Mount Vesuvius, the volcano. And you're familiar with the very dramatic, destructive eruption that took place there. People were going about their daily lives, and they were suddenly overcome with volcanic ash and hot gases. The rich were in their baths. Women were in the marketplace. Children were in the streets playing. Men were at work, and they all died, surrounded and covered by this ash. And if you go there, you can see the grotesque mummies with their mouths gaping open as if screaming and crying. You can see their hands up like this, reaching for air. Children, adults, even animals, petrified, an incredible sight. The saddest part is that those people didn't have to die, because scientists have confirmed what was written by ancient Roman writers who said there were rumblings around that mountain for weeks before the eruption, and a very ominous plume of smoke came out of that mountain days before it happened. They ignored it. I'm still going out to eat after church. I'm still going to be able to see my grandchildren this Thursday. Life's going to go on. They ignored it. Now, I mentioned earlier, are you ready for his return? Let me ask you this. Do you mean it when you pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Because when you pray that, you're praying for the end of the world. You're praying for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're praying for the rapture. You're praying for the judgment. You're praying for, are you ready when you pray that? Let me ask you to ask yourself some questions. Is there anyone in your life that you have not forgiven? Is there any sin in your life that you have not yet confessed to God? Do you hold a grudge against anyone? Do you have any financial debts? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you may not be ready. Why? From thence, a place and a time, he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Now, there's that second archaic word. The word quick means people who move fast. No, it doesn't. Not. The word quick means living. He shall come to judge the living and the dead. That's everybody. Judgment Day. You know, I've never been to court. I've never even had to serve on a jury. Everything I know about that experience comes from some holy examples given to me by Perry Mason in Boston Legal, The Defenders, L.A. Law, Law and Order, O.J. Simpson Trial, Judge Judy. I like that name, Judge Judy. And even Kathy Bates, that grumpy attorney on Harry's Law. I like that name, by the way, Harry's Law, I like that. Regardless of your court experience or your lack of experience, imagine with me just for a moment, brothers and sisters, that you have committed a crime. You have committed an offense. It's a terrible crime. It's a significant crime. And you are absolutely guilty. You are going to be hauled into court before a fearsome judge, and you need a really good attorney. Well, brothers and sisters, you have not committed an offense. You have committed countless offenses, and you are absolutely guilty because you are a self-centered sinner. I'm sorry. I'm just the messenger. You want to point back at me? We are self-centered sinners, and we have committed countless offenses against our God. Jesus is coming to get you, and he's going to haul you into court, and God will sit on the throne as your judge, and you had better have a good attorney. And guess what? You do. His name is Jesus Christos, the Anointed One, the Redeemer. The devil is your accuser. Jesus is your defender. God is your judge. And you can rest assured you will be acquitted. Because you've got somebody bigger than Judge Judy on your side. Hallelujah. Therefore, we don't need to be afraid of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We don't need to be afraid when we say that he will judge the living and the dead. I want to leave you with one of my favorite quotes of Martin Luther. Listen to it carefully and embrace this quote. Live as if Jesus Christ came yesterday, rose from the dead today, and is coming again tomorrow. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, none of us are really ready. All of us are longing. Forgive us our sins. Prepare us, Lord, for the inevitable. And we just pray, Father, that that time will come quickly. For like every one of your children through these centuries, we long to be reunited with you and see you face to face. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, I pray. I pray in your name. Amen. Please stand. I want to update that quote that I gave you of Martin Luther. I want to think of it this way. Brothers and sisters, live as if Jesus Christ was born this morning and rose from the dead this noon and is coming again before the sun sets this evening. Amen? Hear these words from Luke 21. When these things begin to take place, may you stand and lift up your head because your redemption is drawing nigh. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, say that. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. God bless you. Amen.